us to learn to do in this passage. And this book, the first, most likely the one of the very first New Testament books written by the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have talked about, you know, the last two Wednesday nights in our study, we talked about the testing and these strategies. And I'm not going to go back and cover that. You can go back and listen to the previous messages, and that'll help you as well. And but I want to pick up in verse 13 tonight, and our outline is letter B. This faith that works during our trials and temptations, and it works when temptation comes. Now, we're going to see tonight that temptation affects all of us. There's no one immune to that. And I think one of the things that causes difficulty in the life of many believers is that we think that somehow or another it won't happen to us. And brother, let me tell you, if you live by that attitude, you in, as Andy says, you in for a peck of trouble. Okay? So let's look at what James has to offer as we begin this section of talking about when temptation comes. Beginning in verse 13, if you'll stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. He says here, "Let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Father, thank you for your word. Pray in these few moments we have together that we'll be encouraged in our walk with you. And help us, Lord, to understand this very important truth of our faith, to live by faith, trust you, even when temptation comes. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Okay. In verse 13, we find in our English translation the word temptation or tempted, just like we find in verse 2, the word temptation. Now, we said back in verse 2 that that word is the word testing, as in trials or difficulty. But the word in verse 13 is a different word. And it is the word that is the word used in temptation to sin. So we're talking about two different subjects in verses 2 through 12 and in verses 13 through 18. Our first section we've already dealt with. We talked about a time of testing, time of difficulties and trials. That is the word that's used in that section. But beginning in verse 13, James uses a different word, and you can tell the difference in the context. He uses words like lust in this passage. He uses the word as the outcome of death. And he reminds us about the role of God in temptation, and we're going to see what that is tonight. But notice I've given you three main points of these verses that I just read, and let's look at the first one. We may not get any further than that one. But notice in verses 13 and 14 that when temptation comes, we need to assume the responsibility of the temptation. Notice that James begins to let us know, "Let no man say that when he's tempted, that I am tempted of God." Now, he did not say in verse 13 that if you're ever tempted. The word "if" is not there. That's very important. He does say, "Let no man say when he is tempted." That's the difference. Understand, every believer is tempted. There is temptation to sin to every Christian. Let us be very careful that we never project the attitude that it could never happen to me. Let us never do that. There may be some sins that are not as appealing to you as maybe might be appealing to somebody else. But we are still living in a human flesh. We're still living in a sinful nature world. And at our salvation, yes, we are free from the bondage of sin. We are free from the penalty of sin. But we're not free from the effects of sin yet. That won't come till we get to heaven. The danger that happens, and we see it in many lives. We see it in ministry leaders and preachers. We see it in all kinds of folks. And we all got stories. There are people here just on this Wednesday night who are from different parts of the country. You've lived in different places other than Pelzer, including myself. We can tell you stories. And we know those stories. So we must assume that the responsibility of temptation is that we are all tempted in something. Now there are some sins that have no appeal. But then there's some things that, brother, you know you better put up some barriers. You better put up some protection. You better have some living by faith going on in your life. Because the devil knows your weakness. Mark her down, brother. He knows where to hit you hard. And we must understand in this verse that temptation does not come from God. I have had many folks through my ministry who have sat, I have sat and wept, cried, brokenness, families destroyed, churches in disarray in some places, and things turned upside down, and some of the first words out of some of their mouths is, "How did God let this happen to me?" And I got to go, whoa, wait a minute. Let's take a time out. God didn't do this to you. This verse in James proves it. God does not tempt you. God does not tempt people with evil. He does not tempt any man. God is holy, righteous. His very nature is totally without sin. The job of temptation comes from the devil. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Who was the snake? It was the devil, not God. And that is where temptation comes. Now, God does give us a free will and a free choice. He allows us to make our decisions. If you decide tonight that you're going to tempt that 18-wheeler that's coming down off Interstate 85 down Highway 8, that if you want to run out in the middle of the road to see if you can tempt that 18-wheeler to stop him, God's going to allow you to make a choice. And you'll have the consequences of that choice. Don't blame God for you running out in front of an 18-wheeler. You ought to have better sense. Right? You ought to have better. That's not God's fault. I mean, stupid is and stupid does. As one great philosopher put it. But God does not tempt us to sin. But verse 14 reminds us that every man is tempted. And when he's drawn away of his own lust. That word in verse 14 of lust is that word, we're not talking about a sexual desire, but we're talking about that whole subject of any kind of desire. Those things that cause us to want something more. To be drawn away and enticed. Temptation is not the sin. Now, understand the difference. Being tempted is not the sin. It's given into the temptation that is the sin. Temptation comes in many forms, many facets, and in many ways. And when we understand that it doesn't matter if I'm 16 or 60, there is temptation that I must be aware of in my walk with God. I must be careful in my daily life. And I must not allow this temptation to take control of my life. We have to put up barriers, safeguards. We have to prepare ahead of time. So when we assume that responsibility of temptation, and when temptation does come, and it does come for all of us, we must understand, number two, that we must anticipate the inner working of that temptation. The last part of verse 14 and through verse 16. When we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed, and then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Do not err. And notice this last phrase of verse 16. It's very important. He says, my beloved brethren. James is talking to fellow believers. This passage of Scripture has nothing to do with lost people. Lost people are already in sin. They're already following the devil. They're already giving in. They need salvation. They need forgiveness. They need to go to the cross, and they need the shed blood. But wait a minute. James is reminding these Christians who were living. Listen, they're living in the Roman Empire days of the early 40s. You think our immoral culture and society is bad? Have you really studied Roman history? Have you studied the Roman culture of that day? Oh my goodness, there are things I can't repeat in this building and in front of a mixed company of that was just the way of life and a standard procedure of the Roman Empire. These Christians were looking at things every day that were just blowing their mind. And the temptation of every sort was available right in front of them. And that was the downfall, if you go back and read history, of the Roman Empire, was the immoral lifestyle that so took over the empire that it destroyed it from the inside. These believers, James is writing to, he's reminding them that temptation is just the first part of it. Notice that inner working of temptation. And he gives us sort of a going downhill kind of steps. The temptation itself, if it's permitted to hatch into the consent of your will, notice the downward spiral. The temptation, and then you begin to lust after it, to desire that. You begin to think about it and conceive it in your mind. Then it brings forth the actual sin. Sin, when it is full grown, when it is finished, leads to death. I contend to you tonight that every single drunkard who is passed out from alcohol tonight did not intend to end up that way. They thought just one drink would be okay. Every single drug addict and person strung out tonight who can't function because of their addiction to drugs didn't plan on starting out that way. It was just a one-time hit at a party, maybe, or just to have some fun, to give in to peer pressure to some friends. That man who's destroyed his life and his family through pornography and addiction and affairs didn't start out that way. He never dreamed his life would end up that way. It was just something he thought innocent fun. But it grew. And it got worse. And it leads to disaster. James is reminding us that these steps, it begins with temptation. Then there's the consideration. Then there's the desire. Then there's the consent to go through with it. And then finally there's the actual act of actually doing it. We must pray for each other. We must be careful with different things. Because Satan would like nothing more to mess up the influence and the testimony of every Christian he can. He knows he can't get your soul anymore because you're on your way to heaven. but he can mess up your testimony. He can mess up your influence in this world. And yes, people do make mistakes. Praise God for forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, thank God for forgiveness. And I'm glad to know that even when that leads and it gets so, and it gets to a point where, oops, we messed up. And we gave in. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, praise God for that tonight. But boy, if we'd had some safeguards up beforehand. If liquor's a temptation for you, stay away from the places where they serve it. If pornography is a difficult temptation for you, stay off the internet. Stay out of the magazine racks that sell it. If whatever it is that's a problem for you, if it's gossip, cut off your phone. Whatever it is, put up safeguards to protect you as much as possible. Notice the last thing, and I'll close with this. Verses 17 and 18 remind us that when temptation comes, not only assume the responsibility, anticipate the inner working of what temptation is going to lead to, but notice number 3, activate God's provision for resisting that temptation. Here it is. I love verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. Now folks, that'll bless you right there tonight, if nothing else will. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. This passage of Scripture reminds us of just the great power and the unchanging nature of God. That those gifts come from above and cometh down from the Father of lights with no variableness or neither shadow of turning. Some of our great old hymns are based on some of the wording that comes from this verse itself. Activate God's provision for resisting the temptation. God never changes. He's still the same powerful God in 2016 that He was on the first day He created this world we live in. He's still the same God that loves and forgives the same day that He walked through the Garden of Eden and saw Adam and Eve trying to hide themselves. He's still the same God that watched His Son die on a cross and He had to turn His back because He couldn't look upon the sin that was laid upon Him. He's still the same God that welcomed His Son back into heaven after the resurrection. He's still the same God that loves you today and wants to help you in your life. Do you realize when you go through the Word of God and you read some of the great stories of the great men and women of we call them the great men of faith, the great women of faith, do you know what? About every one of them were all messed up at one point or another. Do you realize that? I mean, almost all of them had done something really bad along the way. And yet God used them. God forgave them. God blessed them. Even somebody that did something as terrible as King David, God still called him a man after my own heart. Man who, Abraham, who gave his wife away to a pagan king to try to appease him, God still called him the friend of God. Man, if God can use a drunk to build an ark, if He can use a prophet to run away and fear and still use him to bring the greatest revival, the man Jonah, in the history of the world, if God could still use a cussing fisherman stand on Pentecost and preach and 3,000 get saved, if He can use a murdering, self-righteous Saul of Tarsus to become the greatest missionary Paul, think of what God can do in your life even though you may have not been perfect. Think about that tonight. God's provision, He reminds us that every good and perfect gift is from above. And He says in verse 18, of His own will, He begat us with the word of truth. That's what you hold in your hand tonight. That word of truth to fight the temptation that we should be the first fruits of His own creatures. You know, those two verses right there I could preach the next 30 minutes on, but I'm not going to do it because it's just so full. But I just want to conclude with this. I just want to encourage you. It's easy for us as Christians that when we hear someone who's really messed up their life, destroyed their family, and damaged their testimony, the devil causes us sometimes to have a little bit of pride in us and say, that's never happened to me. And I've heard people make statements that, boy, could you believe what they did? That would never happen to me. Man, that's dangerous. Because they're just no sinner just like you are. And you don't have anything more than they do. There's only one perfect one that walked this earth. And they crucified him. We must be careful as believers that we understand where our boundaries are and where our limitations and temptations are. And if there are those things, recognize them. Put up your safeguards and don't let them down. But understand this, that the same God that provided His own Son to pay for your sins is the same God that loves you enough to forgive you tonight when you do sin. And it just because someone messes up doesn't mean they're not welcome to come to church anymore. In fact, by the way, this is a place they need to be more than ever. And that one I've never understood either. That when people mess up their lives and make terrible decisions and they do things that and they've made a mistake, you can't draw them back to church with a team of horses. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this is where you need to be. This is a place you need to run to. This is a place you just need to grasp a hold of and don't leave till you get the peace of God. So we need to pray for each other. We need to encourage one another. We need to love each other. James is reminding us that temptation is real. And it will come. Be prepared. Be ready to handle it. But understand this. You serve a God who's greater than any temptation there's ever been. You don't have to give in to it. You don't have to succumb to it. You don't have to live your life. You don't have to live with the mess that results from it. Just look at the devil in the face. Read that verse to him and stick out your tongue and go, "Nyeh." And just say, "Leave me alone." Because 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Let's pray together. Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You that when temptation comes, a faith and living by faith and walking by faith causes us to, Father, to resist it, to handle it, to be prepared for it ahead of time. Lord, even though when there are times that we make that tragic mistake, Lord, You're right there to pick us up and forgive us. I thank You for that. Thank You for giving all of us when we've needed it. Lord, I pray that we'll lift up our brothers and sisters. We'll encourage them. We'll help them. And Father, we'll just understand and be prepared to face what comes before us. I pray You bless us through this week as we serve You. And we give You all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said.